The Rockford Symphony Orchestra Music Director finalist season continues this Saturday, April 30th at 7:30 p.m. at the Coronado Performing Arts Center. And this is Phil Davidson. Joining me today is Music Director finalist Tanya Miller, who will be presenting Spring Love and Butterflies this Saturday. Welcome to Rockford.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's begin by hearing something about you. I mean, where you're from, what you've been doing in the music world. I think there's some worldwide conducting involved. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, first of all, I'm really happy to be here in Rockford. I'm looking so forward to being with the orchestra. And I've been having a wonderful time guest conducting a variety of orchestras. I'll start from the beginning of where I am right now. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia, beautiful part of the world. Mm-hmm. I was the music director of the Victoria Symphony, which is on an island mm-hmm. close by to Vancouver. I was there for 14 years as a music director of that orchestra. And now I enjoy guest conducting many orchestras, but also I'm looking for that next community that I will be a part of through music. I was very fortunate in the last couple of years. I spent two trips going to South Korea and conducting there, which was very exciting. It was at a time in the pandemic where many orchestras in Canada and the U.S. were not performing, and yet in Korea they were. I worked with the KBS Symphony there and worked with a tour in Daegu. And also, I've just had a wonderful time getting to know a variety of different orchestras in Canada and the U.S. It's been a good year this year, even though, of course, it was very slow before that with the pandemic. And just glad to be back making music.
Well, I was on Victoria, so I know how beautiful it is.
It is a beautiful place.
Well, I believe that you're also a writer. Tell us something about that.
Well, writing is, to be honest, as a music director, as a conductor, I'm always trying to find ways to connect people to the music. I feel that there is a desire by people to not necessarily know about the music, but more just to understand, and for me to be able to share with them what the meaning of the music is, or how it might impact us, or how even musicians perform, what goes into being a performing musician, or even the impact of music on children. All of these topics are things that I have explored through my writing, and I love it because I feel like I'm a creator. I feel like I'm composing words that somehow come out of the air into my mind, and I put them on paper, and it feels really wonderful to be able to share ideas, and most especially to share ideas about music with people.
What motivated you to reach out to RSO when you learned about the music director opening?
Well, I have had the privilege of being in this area conducting before. I've conducted in Elgin and in Chicago area. And so when I heard that the Rockford Symphony was looking for a music director, first of all, I knew that I would like the people. But also, I was inspired by the fact that Stephen Larson had been here for 30 years. And when I hear that there's a music director that's invested in a community for 30 years, I know that this is an orchestra that's been in fabulous hands, and that a community is very much connected to music through a long and fruitful involvement with their music director and their orchestra. So on that level alone, I knew it was a good place to apply.
Well, we know, and as you just alluded to, that the music director plans the concerts and, of course, conducts the orchestra. But what other facets of the position do you feel are important as it relates to the symphony organization and the community, of course?
I feel that music is for every person, that there is something within the music of the orchestra that will inspire people and change their lives and transport them somewhere that they truly needed to go. And so I'm committed to just finding a way to reach people and for music to be for everyone. So I think a music director's position is to provide leadership and inspiration to an orchestra to play at its very best, to communicate and be involved with the audience that's there. But very, very importantly, to be a visionary for what it means to have the arts within a community, to have ideas to connect to the community itself, and to find ways for music to impact the people in a community in the way that they understand their community, so that it has a sense that it really is a part of their lives, that it's not from another place or another time, but actually something that's really right now, very vibrant, very important. And so I think as a music director, I would want to be here investing in whatever that artistic landscape is for this community and how it might change and move and inspire the community.
Well, let's talk about Spring Love and Butterflies. Why did you choose this particular program and the title mm-hmm. and the pieces in the program?
Well, sometimes programs almost emerge like a creation unto themselves. You start with one piece of music and it leads to the next piece of music mm-hmm. and then things all start to come together. I'm very sensitive to the feeling of where we are in life and also in a season. I didn't know probably, it was a couple of years ago where we were asked to present a few programs. How could I have known that we would be coming out of a almost 2-year pandemic? But there is something very special about this time period, that we are in spring. And at the same time as this very spring, there is a sense of renewal, a sense of hope, a sense of things being opening up for us again so that we can live our lives. This program is about that feeling. It's called Spring, Love, and Butterflies because intertwined inside this program are connections on multi-levels of this sense of hope and inspiration that we find in spring. And those relate to things like the beautiful Strauss Blue Danube waltz, the fact that butterflies and are part of the nature that we are so happy to once again kind of renew our connection to once spring comes out. The Butterfly Lovers Concerto is something that also has a second connotation, which is about love. And we have a story of two lovers who are committed to each other for tragic reasons are kept apart, but ultimately in the form of butterflies, they are able to be together in spirit. And this love is found also in the Chairman's Waltz by John Williams, which is on this program. Again, two people who are brought together who have hope and inspiration by being together, and in particular in the story an older chairman who is a mentor and an inspiration for a young girl who is able to become who she was meant to be by his support. Appalachian Spring, of course, is an iconic aspect of what this program is embodying, which is spring and renewal, a Pennsylvania couple starting a new life. So to me, everything is wrapped up in nature and this fresh sense that we all have of something very beautiful and open. And just to finish off, we open with Mozart. For me, always lovely and always beautiful.
Well, let's get into a little bit more about the specific pieces. The first piece on the program is Mozart's Symphony No. 35, which is also called the Haffner Symphony. Can you kind of give us a description of what we will be hearing on Saturday? With
Mozart's Symphony No. 35 is really such a delightful symphony. Most symphonies are approximately 30 minutes, especially later symphonies of Mozart. But this one is really sweet. It's only about 17 or 18 minutes long, very, very gentle. It still has four movements, and everything is in a miniature form. One thing I love about Mozart is he takes us in the first movement, there's just one theme that it's like he made it into an intellectual exercise to see how many different clothes this one theme could wear so that it would appear in a variety of different costumes and somehow impress us in different ways, creating so many moods along the way. I find it fascinating that he was able to do it. And he always, one thing about Mozart, which I love, is the third movement, often at this time period with classical music, would be an elegant minuet. But in Mozart's hands, it becomes a little bit more rustic, like we're in a bit of a barn dance or something that's a little bit more down home and with a mug of beer in our hands. And always his last movement is full of this sort of sprightly, wild, you get the sense that Mozart was always a little bit, taking risks and doing things he wasn't supposed to be, a little bit mischievous. And I love all of the spirit that's found in this symphony.
Well, then, after Mozart, we move into, you already described this a little bit, the Butterfly Lover's Violin Concerto. And I think that's based on a popular Chinese legend. I was reading that it's called the Chinese Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Now, you already gave us a little bit on this, but can you give us a little more of a description?
Absolutely. It's a beautiful Chinese folk story, a very important Chinese folk story. And it's about two young people, a young woman named Liang and Zhe, who is a young man. And they go... Basically, the young lady is not allowed to study at a university, but her father agrees to a plan where she will dress as a young man so that she can go and study. He wants her to have an education. And so she goes off to university, and these two meet each other, and they start off as friends because they both, she knows that she's a woman, but he does not. So they appear from an outer perspective to be two young men learning their studies and growing to be very close friends. But along the way, she knows that she loves him, and he knows that he loves his friend, and they discover eventually the truth. But unfortunately, in her case, her father had chosen somebody else for her to marry, and she wasn't allowed to marry this young man that she loved. And so they were separate, and he became very, very lonely and despairing and depressed, and he finally died, and he was in a grave, and she was about to go off to be married. And as she's going on her marriage day to be married, she runs off to his grave. She cries onto his grave, and the grave opens up, and out he comes as a butterfly, and she jumps into the grave, actually, and the two of them come out of the grave together as butterflies. So the idea of transcending love that transcends all of the worldly challenges and obstacles, and ultimately the truth is there that they are the lovers meant to be.
Well, the music must be fascinating.
It's absolutely fascinating because it uses Chinese folk songs. It uses a scale called a pentatonic scale, which has a very Chinese sound to it. There's such beauty in the violin writing, and it's very romantic, so very exciting. Lots of different mood changes. It's absolutely beautiful. I can't get it out of my mind when I listen to it.
Well, now we're going to go to a composer who's one of my all-time favorites, and that's John Williams. And you mentioned this previously, too, the Chairman's Waltz from Memories of the Geisha Suite.
Right.
A Geisha Suite. Now, this is from the score, I believe, of the 2005 film with the same name. But can you give us a... I'm not remembering the story really well, so refresh my memory, would you?
Well, first of all, this piece that we're going to perform is a lovely duet, really, between violin and cello. And the very first recording for the movie soundtrack that was made of this was done by Yo-Yo Ma, and it's at Perlman. So a pretty stellar first recording, I would say. It's a lovely piece between these two instruments, which represent the violin represents Sayuri, and the cello represents the chairman. Sayuri is this young girl who, in this movie, Memoirs of a Geisha, or the original book, Memoirs of a Geisha, she is her her mother dies, her father is very, very poor, and she's sent off to be a geisha apprentice, really, in hopes that she can support herself and maybe even support the family. And she's quite lost. She's bullied and she's mistreated, and she might not have survived except for the inspiration of one man who was kind to her at one point, the chairman. And from the moment of being shown her first kindness by this gentleman, she always had that sense of dignity and belief in herself, enough so that she rose to become one of the most well-known and most successful geishas in history. And along the journey, she meets him again. He becomes her mentor, and eventually they become lovers. So it's a long story of her, in a sense, starting from the very bottom and overcoming, again, many, many sad obstacles and finding love and happiness in the end. And the piece that we play is this beautiful, very gentle work. I find it interesting because also in the Butterfly Lovers Concerto, the young lady and the young man are also represented by a violin and a cello. So these two pieces connect that same idea.
Well, then we go to another piece that you talked about earlier, and that's Appalachian Spring by Aaron Copland. And I think he's maybe best known today for his ballets. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this piece falls into that category. What is the story of this ballet?
You know, it's so wonderful because the piece was commissioned by Martha Graham for her dance company. But she was kind of vague about what she wanted. She knew she wanted it to be sort of a inspirational piece about kind of a new beginning in Pennsylvania. But I think at first it was just called the Ballet for Martha because, Copland got the commission from her, and he really started kind of mapping out and creating ideas for this very quite vague story of new beginning, basically. New beginning in America. And from that, we get inside the score some beautiful things that in the end aren't even a part of the story. For instance, there's a train in his music, but there's no train in the story, which I find ultimately very charming. And even the name itself was found at the last minute. I mean, really, after the piece was completely written, Martha Graham came across a piece by a poem by Hart Crane, and it started with "O Appalachian Spring." And we so often think of Appalachian Spring as the season, but it's actually referring to a spring of water. So what is the story that it ended up being? It is a story of a Pennsylvania couple, newlyweds, that are starting a new life together. You can imagine a vast grassland of rolling hills, and they are setting up a new house in this community that they've just come to. There's a preacher, there are townspeople who are helping them build a barn. There is an old lady who's a part of it. There's a few characters that are a part of this very simple story, but the main aspect of the story is one that is two people who come together in love and look beyond themselves for whatever is this new bright future. And that feeling of the new America, of the new possibility of what building a life together is all about, it shines through in the spirit of this music. And I find it to be always very inspiring and very moving to conduct this work.
Well, these pieces really do go together, don't they?
They really do. It's a beautiful program.
And then, as you said earlier, we close it all off with what more can be said, the Blue Danube by Strauss. Why did you select this piece?
It's a funny thing to select a single waltz and put it at the end of a program. But I have programmed this waltz at the end of a program before and found it to be one of the most delightful experiences. When we finish Copland's Appalachian Spring, we will all be suspended in this mood of something very special. It will be a feeling of nostalgia and also a sense of quietness. It ends very quietly, and we all just get suspended in that feeling of hush. And what is amazing about Blue Danube is it starts from that point. It starts off with da-dee-dum-bum, almost like you can imagine the mist rising from the water, the sun just starting to rise. I mean, it's like the very beginning of the day, and it's not started yet until the waltz begins. And so that feeling of something elevating so slowly, and then something that we all love and that we can dance away with, I thought it was just a charming way to end what I think is a beautiful program.
Well, I can relate to the mist on the Danube because I was there a couple of years ago.
Oh, so fantastic.
It wasn't blue, but it was very nice.
You have to use your imagination.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. It was great to speak with you today.
Well, you have been listening to a conversation with RSO Music Director finalist Tanya Miller, and tickets are still available for this concert. Spring Love and Butterflies, which happens this Saturday, April 30th, 7:30 p.m. Where else but at the Coronado Performing Arts Center? So please be a part of the choice. For tickets and more information, go to rockfordsymphony.com or call 815-965-0049. This is Phil Davidson, and thank you for listening.